Hey, everybody. Thank the Charlie Kirk Show. Benny Johnson joins us to talk about why men are becoming more right-wing and his visit to the UFC with President Trump. Judge Alex joins us to talk about the rise in youth violence. And Joe Biden says that illegal foreigners built this country. Didn't you know that? Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. If you want to become a member where you can ask us exclusive questions and be part of our community, go to members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. So check it out today. That is members.charliekirk.com. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And subscribe to our podcast. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. If you look with a careful eye, our society is becoming more violent, especially youth violence. You ask any teacher in a government school system across the country, especially urban schools, they say the amount of fighting, the amount of near-death casualties that are happening is increasing dramatically. And we see this on TikTok, of all places, where they're posting videos of youth violence and random beatings. Joining us to discuss is Judge Alex Furrer, who is a former Florida Circuit Court judge and former host of Judge Alex. Judge Alex, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me, Charlie. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. So what kind of prompted this discussion was the beating of what seems to be two young girls. Let's just play cut 25. It's very hard to watch, but let's play cut 25. So, Judge Alex, what's going on in this clip, and is this part of a larger trend?
Well, what's going on is a serious crime, because what the video cuts off after she slams that girl's head into the pavement twice, the girl very clearly starts seizing, goes into a seizure. And notably, the person who's videoing and all the other teens around don't come to help the girl at all. She's just laying there having a massive seizure. And what's going on in the video is a crime. It can be charged as a very serious felony. I understand that the girl on the ground is in critical condition. Last I heard, I don't know if she's come out of that, but she's in critical condition. God forbid she passes away. The girl who did that to her should be and will be charged with murder. Probably in Florida would be the equivalent of second degree murder, not first. Not sure what the title is in Missouri, but that's a felony that can send you to prison for 30 years or more. So it's a very serious problem. We are seeing a trend of this. We are seeing teens becoming more violent in the neighborhood, at school, to classmates, all over. The question about why divides into two categories. Why is this individual violent? Looks at like that. Is that person seeing it at home? Are they being riled up by their classmates? Do they have mental health issues? All that. But the question of why society teens are becoming more violent, I firmly believe it's a perception of lack of consequences, and in many cases, a reality of lack of consequences. When teenagers or when anybody sees adults assaulting cops, beating them down, and then getting released from jail and walking by and flipping the bird to the TV cameras, that sends a very clear message that there aren't consequences for criminal actions, even criminal actions against police officers. Teenagers know that if they commit a crime, they're going to get punished, but they're going to get punished less than police officers. I'm sorry, than adults. So what kind of message are you sending to them? If adults are hardly getting punished, they feel they can get away with anything. They watch people walk into stores and just steal everything they can grab and walk out, and there's no consequence. They hear about states decriminalizing those crimes where you don't even call the police. They're not going to take the report. It's not a crime if it's up to $1,000, let's say, in some states or whatever. So when you instill in young people who are just developing their moral compass that there are no consequences for bad actions, yeah, I'm absolutely not surprised that violence, teen violence, is on the rise. And on top of that, you add the racial component, where for the last, I don't know, it's been more than a decade, it appears that blacks and whites have been pitted against each other. At least blacks have been pitted against whites. It's really creating this powder keg where it's just looking to vent somewhere, and things like this are going to happen.
So as a judge and as someone who has dealt in the American justice system, the radical forces on the other side will say that we can't be punitive, we must be restorative. And if you just put someone in prison for what they do wrong, it actually doesn't rehabilitate them. I have a different view. I'm sure you agree that if you have a consequence for an action, then the incentives change and people know that if you do that thing, they're less likely then to continue to do that thing. How do you address that whole idea that we shouldn't use the American justice system for justice? Instead, it should be a slap on the wrist. I mean, for example, this young lady who did this, this thug who was gave the girl a brain injury, she wasn't arrested until this video went viral. There was no arrest. There was no investigation. By the way, every single day we hear stories of kids that are getting hospitalized. One kid died, I think, in Vegas, if I'm not mistaken. He got pounded by his classmates. Judge, your reaction.
Well, my first reaction is that justice has to be absolutely colorblind. If this were reversed and it was a white girl who beat a black girl down and slammed her head on the concrete so hard twice, hitting somebody's head on the concrete is no different than taking a pole made of concrete and slamming them on the head with it. In fact, it's probably worse because concrete doesn't give. So you're potentially killing that person. If it had been a white girl who did that to a black girl, the uproar would be instantaneous. The arrest, I believe, would have been a lot quicker, and justifiably so. White people commit racist crimes as well. I don't know if this one was racist. Immediately when we see white and black fighting, we assume that there may be a racial component, but it may not be at all. It may be just some hatred between the two girls or whatever. But the bottom line is what it led to is a very serious injury. And so when you're a judge and you're sentencing or and we're very far down the road, because of course, before you get to that point, the police officer has to make an arrest. I don't know why an arrest wasn't made on the scene, even with mutual combat, which is, as far as I know, not codified anywhere in the country. I don't think there's a statute in the country in any state that says mutual combat is a defense, mutual combat being when two parties agree to go outside and fight. But it is viewed as a defense in many cases throughout the country where two people just agree to fight. Even then, if serious injury results, the person can be arrested. And in fact, both people can be arrested for a disorderly conduct type of charge or whatever. So in this case, the police should have arrested the perpetrator on the spot. They didn't. I assume the public backlash led for them to take action, but now you have to wait to see what the prosecutor does. So now at this point, I don't know if the prosecutor brought charges. I heard something about them being charged with assault, or the person being charged with assault. Assault varies in definition across the country. In Florida, for example, assault is a very minor crime. It's a threat to do harm without any bodily contact. But in other states, assault is a very serious crime. So the definition really is what matters. If the person in this case was charged with a felony, I think that's appropriate because there was an intent to cause serious bodily harm, and that is what they should be facing. A charge for that. But then you have to see where it goes from there. Do they plead them down to something or something less, in which case the judge is limited by whatever that charge is? Or does it go to trial and do they get convicted? And then the judge has to make a decision looking at all the circumstances of the case, looking at the whatever happened to the person, the victim in the case. And yes, you do have some weighing. There is the consideration that a juvenile does not have the common sense of an adult, most adults anyway. So you take that into consideration. But in addition, you know, if you're a juvenile and you step up to the major league plate on your first time, that was your choice, you know. So all of these factors, the age of the person goes into it. The fact that prison, yes, is not rehabilitative. I would agree with that. Most people, you know, they don't get better when they go to prison. Some people do. Some people go to prison and they go, I never want to go there again. And they never go back and they straighten their life. Other people just learn skills there. And it's not a good place to be if you're a juvenile. On the other hand, you're not just trying to deter this one juvenile. You're trying to deter all of the others. And that's part of sentencing, is deterrence in addition to punishment. So, you know, when kids keep seeing people getting away with stuff, it just generates that mindset of, I can do whatever I want. Just think of what a big man on campus I'll be tomorrow when everybody sees this viral video of me beating this person to a pulp. When they see consequences and they see, oh my God, you remember so-and-so, she went to prison for doing this. Then maybe the next time there's a fight, it stops before the slamming of the head onto the concrete. It stops at just a fight, which happens. So I think that, you know, those are all balancing factors. But, you know, just looking at one far end is a mistake.
Judge Alex, thank you so much for the commentary. We'll have you on again soon. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on.
Hey, everyone. Charlie Kirk here. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they are the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of this program, which is why I'm so proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious liberty, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. So keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use offer code Charlie. Join me and make the switch today. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Join me and make the switch today. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie and free activation using offer code Charlie. All right, just a reminder, I will be at Cal State Fullerton on Thursday. I will also be, I believe, at Phil Hotbin Spiller's church. I think it's called Influence Church on Thursday night. And then on Sunday, I will be at John Randall's church, Calvary Chapel, San Juan Capistrano. And then on Monday, I will be at San Diego State University answering questions on the ground, and then doing an evening event as well. So a lot happening, and boy, Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, if that was any indicator, 600-700 people that attended our Change My Mind, it was really something. Joe Biden views the invasion of this country and the invaders as a constituency, as a core constituency. Joe Biden sat down with MSNBC for an exclusive interview. He did this to try to play cover-up because he got in big trouble, because he called the criminals, the foreigners that have broken into our country, that have stayed in our country, that have illegally domiciled themselves into our country, many of whom steal Social Security numbers, their presence is an act of crime. Every day they are here, they are committing a crime. You're not allowed to harbor yourself illegally in this country. We don't enforce that law, but it is against the law. By the way, there's an amazing exchange that will be posted from our time at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. A well-intentioned young man who said, hey, my mom came here illegally. Do you think she should be deported? I said, of course. He never heard anyone be so blunt about it. You're going to have to watch the rest of the tape to see how it ends up. If you break into somebody's home, you don't have squatter's rights. You don't get to squat in our country. Oh, I've been here for 20 years. I'm a citizen. That's not how it works. By the way, if these people are so amazing, And some, of course, have skills and talents, and some people are terrific. But as Joe Biden says, if they built America, then why don't they go back and build Honduras? Why couldn't they build Honduras while they were there? Play cut 8 in one of the most repulsive, disgusting pieces of tape that you will ever see from a world leader. Play cut 8.
But during your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Lake and Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between Trump and me, one of the things I talked about on the border was that the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about these people polluting the blood. I talked about what I'm not going to do, what I won't do. I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. Look, they built the country. The reason our economy is growing.
You hear that? They built the country. George Washington, James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, they were illegals. Now, what Joe Biden probably meant, and I'm not even one to extend an olive branch, is he meant that immigrants built this country. No, they didn't. Immigrants have helped innovate. Settlers built this country. People that came here when there was nothing. There are two different types of people. Well, there's more than two. There's refugees, there's foreigners, there's criminals. But there's largely two different types of travelers, legal travelers. You have settlers and you have immigrants. Settlers and immigrants. Settlers come to land that is barren and build something new. Immigrants come to something that is already built and hopefully contribute and assimilate. Those are two completely different things. To come to a barren land, which the land was barren when they arrived, and to build a new civilization, to build something from nothing, is noteworthy. To build something from something is still important, and immigrants, some of which have been wonderful, beautiful contributions to this country. But to equate the two is different. And that we've fallen into this trap, you know, well, immigrants built the country. Immigrants, no, hold on. Settlers built the country. To go west to the barren plains of Utah, Arizona, California, and to build new villages and towns on the Western code is a lot different than arriving into Houston and to go work as a maid. That's fine. That's helpful. That is necessary. But it's completely different. The greatness of small town America, and make no mistake, America was great not because of our urban centers. London always existed. Paris always existed. The idea of big cities is not what made America great. What made America great was the mid-level towns. This is a story that is not emphasized enough. It is the Peorias. It's the Dubuques. It is the Mankatos. It is the Missoulas, more so than the Chicagos and the New Yorks. That when the people who built those cities got there, they were barren and they built something ex nihilo. The globalists are making it very clear that another pandemic could be just around the corner. They want us to live in fear, to be willing to sacrifice our freedoms. It doesn't have to be this way. You need to be prepared, not scared. That's why you need the Wellness Company. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust. Their medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. Be ready for anything. I can 100% endorse this company. They are amazing. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to help keep you and your family safe from whatever the globalists throw at us next. Go to twc.health/Charlie. That is twc.health/Charlie. Enter promo code Charlie for 10% off. The Wellness Company. They are licensed doctors and medical professionals you can trust. Again, that's twc.health/Charlie. Promo code Charlie for 10% off. See site for details. Prescription may be required. Joining us now is a great American, a great friend, and someone who I'm thrilled to see his virality and success. And he was at UFC 299 in Miami with President Trump and many other people. Benny Johnson. Benny, welcome to the program.
What's up, Charlie? How are you? What a weekend.
Tell us all about it. Again, I was asleep. I went to bed at 8 local. And you couldn't, I'm really not a UFC person. So tell me what I missed.
So let's begin. Dana White is a great American. He's a total G. And we hit up Dana White, said, we're going to be in Miami filming a documentary at one of the Trump properties. could we go to UFC? We're like kind of interested. Maybe we can film behind the stage. Seems like sort of a cultural nexus that we should be a part of. Country music, NASCAR, UFC. This is the right creating culture, and we need more of that. We had no idea that Donald Trump was going to be there. Dana White responds back immediately, is absolutely roll through. So we were there as guests of Dana, and we show up without any sort of preconceived understanding of the UFC. I was not a fan of the UFC. We covered it on the show whenever there's a cultural moment, but I'm not some massive fight fan, right? I don't watch, and nor do I follow really closely culturally what they're doing. And so I come in with no real understanding of the UFC or fight culture. And this is, I think, the first point. The fights were unbelievable. And I say this just as a simple observer in the stands. I get bored at NFL games. I get bored at NBA games. I get really bored at MLB games. I'm not a big sports guy. And I gotta tell you, like, you know, I've realized why I'm not a big sports guy when I go to this stuff. The UFC, like, was from the first hit, like, you're like captivated because it awakens something inside of all of our DNA. Like, because our ancestors thousands of years ago would go to the Coliseum and you would see UFC style battles. You would see like man on man combat. Like you'd see true warriors and gladiators. And I think it, like, the UFC actually it captures that and is so brutal and raw in a world that is bubble wrapping all the athletes, and where athletes are like really just fabulists, like left wing fabulists and obnoxious and pretentious and preening. Like the UFC is just so brutal and such has such a high T masculine energy. It's like testosterone replacement therapy for a nation that desperately needs it.
It's a TRT and clinic. It's a TRT clinic.
Yeah.
That's very funny. Keep going.
So anyway, I don't mean a monologue here, but I do want to like capture the fact that this was the largest takeaway for me about the UFC is that I didn't need to be some type of like massive sports nut to enjoy it. I freaking enjoyed it from the first hit. I watched every fight. Dana put us ringside. I mean, we were sitting the first row. And so it was just awesome. You could hear the punches. You could see the kicks. And there was just something so raw, ethereal, and masculine about that. It just awakened something in me. I wasn't prepared for that. And so I was really thrilled about that because I wasn't sure if I'd get it when I went there, just like you. I wasn't sure if I'd get it.
No, I've been to a UFC fight, and going and watching on TV are two completely different things. It is watching on TV correct. Is very two-dimensional. Again, I have nothing against people that watch it. In fact, I think that if more people watched UFC than the other trash on TV, the country would be a better place. I think it's fine. It's admirable. It is incredibly difficult to do what they do. But what else, Benny? What are the other takeaways? By the way, you and your Joe Burrow and Nick Bosa and Patrick Bet-David and Candace Owens. Keep going, Benny.
That's the big takeaway. So then you know, you walk in and you see Dan Scavino sitting there and you're like, Trump's going to be here. Oh, Trump's going to be here. Oh, amazing. All right. And then there's a section next to our section where the name, they put the name on their seat and the name was just 45. The entire section just said 45 on it. And I'm like, oh, come on. And then you see the Secret Service rolling around. And the Secret Service, as you know, Charlie, has very specific look, right? You can't hide if you're a Secret Service member, right? Very specific suit, very specific way that they stand, specific shoes that they wear and earpieces. And so it's like, wait a second. We didn't know Trump was going to be there. Suddenly we realized Trump was going to be there. Obviously, as you just mentioned, there were massive tech moguls there, billionaires there, media moguls, the biggest influencers on planet Earth, like Mr. Beast is the most followed man on all of
there?
YouTube.
Oh, wow.
These are Mr. Beast was there. Logan Paul was there. Aiden Ross and all these guys. And so it's like, this was like the nexus for all of culture. And this is what was really important. One, Donald Trump walks in, and I've never heard a roar like this. This was like a Braveheart, like 20,000 men taking the field of battle roar. The reception that Donald Trump got was deafening when he walked into that arena. Deafening. And here's the most important thing. You have NFL quarterbacks, you have billionaires, you have tech titans, you have media moguls, you have the biggest influencers on planet Earth. None of them get receptions. Donald Trump gets that reception. And most importantly, while other politicians in the room, and there were many, were running up to the celebrities to get photos and to try and gain off their influence, the celebrity class was going to Donald Trump. And that's what I thought was fascinating, is that you have a moment here where, like, you realize Trump is just not a politician. Trump is the maxim of masculine energy and celebrity in our time, and is the biggest celebrity, biggest man-made celebrity that ever lived, right? And so all of these celebrities, all these people, where every other politician was grubbing and trying to get photos with the quarterbacks and the billionaires, all those people were then going to Trump, not the other way around.
Well, so
Benny, everyone was going.
I want to ask you something. So there's this trend, and I know you've been covering it, where the left has become hyper feminine, and that young men are becoming more and more right wing. Did you see those elements on display at what could be called the modern gladiator match?
Totally. And that's why Donald Trump rules that place, because Donald Trump is the ultimate warrior, right? And they respect that masculine energy. Even if Nick Bosa and like Joe Burrow and all their agents are telling him that, like, don't touch Trump, don't go up to Trump. Trump's broken the wheel, and Trump's is a proven gladiator. And so when Donald Trump walks into that arena, that's why all those guys are going up to, like, pay homage, kiss the ring, and like, respect game, right? Because that place is built on masculine energy and testosterone and manliness. Donald Trump is the personification of those things. They're like the epitome of that. And those people like are saying, I want what Donald Trump has, right? And I want to be able to fight the system and also F the system, to be quite honest. They told me that this man was toxic, that this man was poison. They've thrown everything they can at him in his own version of the octagon, and Donald Trump has defeated it all. And so there's like this deep, resounding, resonant respect for him. And you saw that with the fighters. There was this fighter that fought right at the main card. Poirier was his last name. Forgive me if I'm mispronouncing that. Dustin Poirier. And he wins by knockout, and he runs over to Donald Trump to like say, are you proud of me? Right? Like the warrior who just defeated this man in the octagon.
He went
like,
for a
runs over to
he
Trump.
Goes, great. He goes to the great Caesar and says, and he has to do the thumb up. He goes to Joaquin Phoenix.
Yes, exactly. And these fighters pay respect to Trump, who's sitting ringside with Jared and Ivanka.
Pay respect to Trump. They go to Caesar and say, what else, sir?
That's right.
Shall I deliver
That's
his
exactly
head
right.
to you?
It's amazing. So we want to rebuild the Roman Empire, and like, here we are.
I mean, all kidding aside, though, Benny, there's a reason, and what I guess got to give Dana White credit, and I don't know Dana that well. We've hung out once, and
there
we text every so often. There it is. He goes to Joaquin Phoenix,
there
and Trump just nods in approval.
Yes. Everyone, Charlie, everyone was going up. A lot of these clips that are going viral is our team just filming. We were just like, I just told my production team, I was there with the great ALX, and I was there with Rolls Royce on my team. I was like, just film every celebrity that talks to Trump. It'll make huge news. And because it was amazing, it was something I wasn't expecting, because I thought perhaps maybe the toxicity of maybe it still existed, because there was a time when Trump was in the White House when NFL teams wouldn't even show up when they won the Super Bowl. Remember that?
Yes.
And that time is now dead. Trump has broken the wheel.
And so this idea of men going right wing in the auditorium, did you hear any boos? It's almost fair to say that if you're into fitness, personal nutrition, not want to be an androgynous consumer, not into the whole metrosexual agenda, does that automatically make you a right winger now?
I think the UFC is saving American masculinity, because American sports has long been defined by slovenly fans sitting back and watching athletes who hate them and who hate their country. The people who kneel for the flag and the anthem, these fabulous athletes that are left-wing athletes and totally captured and totally operated, the Travis Kelce's of the world, right? Doing doing the Pfizer ads, right? And you have these athletes that hate the fans, and the fans are slobs. And in the UFC, it was the reverse. That shocked me. Again, I had never gone to a UFC fight. I didn't consider myself some type of massive fan, just tertiary knowledge. And so I walked in there and I'm looking around. I'm like, these guys are all like, every person in the audience, the 70,000 people there, every person looked like they could jump in the octagon and like start, you know, beating the crap out of their opponent. It was amazing. So you have this masculine audience. You have these people that are taking their fitness seriously. There wasn't a lot of drinking. I know that's a big thing for you, Charlie. In my old age, that's actually something that I've totally matured into, and I agree with you now. Like, I virtually don't drink. I looked around at the influencers. It wasn't like a booze fest or a degeneracy fest. It was like people that clearly respect their health and respect their own masculinity and respect like the T levels. And they're watching these fighters that do the same and these fighters that also reflect their worldview. And that's what I think is so fascinating is a lot of these fighters are like unashamed patriots. The USA chants that broke out anytime there was an American fighter fighting anyone, right? Were deafening. That's and then amazing. There was plenty of FJB chants as well.
They gotta sell steak and protein shakes, not beer at UFC fights. For years, I've been talking about how our nation's public schools have been captured by progressive ideologues, especially true if you're a Christian family. For those of you worried about the best educational path for your kids and grandkids, I want to tell you about how Turning Point Academy is working with the Herzog Foundation and how you at home can also benefit from it. They have an online publication called The Lion and also Making the Leap. The Herzog Foundation offers a wide range of advice and information for Christian parents to make the best education decisions for your kids. Go to HerzogFoundation.com. That is HerzogFoundation.com. So check it out right now, HerzogFoundation.com. Portions of The Charlie Kirk Show are brought to you in part by the Stanley M. Herzog Foundation. That is HerzogFoundation.com. So, Benny, I'm going to ask you an unusual question. What worries you the most coming into this November? Kind of looking at a threat analysis on the landscape, what is your biggest concern that might get in the way of a triumphant victory?
I had this conversation with somebody very high up on the Trump team this weekend. Again, this weekend, we were at Trump Drow. We were filming an episode for our Trump Cribs series where we're going to all the Trump properties and showing just how remarkable they are. It makes me so angry what's happening to Trump in New York because I've actually been to these properties. I know you have been to many of these properties as well, Charlie, and seen what a spectacular business this guy's built and what a national treasure that is, because he's really preserved and created some amazing things. I mean, the Trump Tower in Chicago is the best building in Chicago, period. Just as a rule. And so we were there, we were talking with some of the people in the orbit. And I asked the same question and I agree with the answer. It's Donald Trump's to lose, actually. And I feel like they can be lost. And I feel like what will create loss is apathy and people believing that we've already won because Joe Biden sucks so bad. And because Joe Biden, like, obviously falls down the stairs and craps his pants and dribbles like applesauce down his face. And he's got plastic hair and plastic teeth and a plastic face. And we don't know which Joe Biden it is today. And it's really hard to get that skin suit over the lizard every morning. And, you know, it's tough. But we see all these things and we say, you know, Joe Biden's done for. And that's not true, right? We are not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting spiritual battles. And the spirit of evil resides inside of these people. And what wouldn't they do for power? I'll give you a really brief example that happened just a moment ago, probably 24 hours ago. Joe Biden apologized to the murderer of Lake and Riley. He apologized to the murderer for calling the murderer an illegal instead of a newcomer. Or a, you know, a chocolate dipped, you know, whatever, gumdrop smile person, whatever. I don't know, whatever fabulous name they could come up with. The new name for criminal illegal aliens, which is what they actually are, criminal aliens in this nation. So Joe Biden didn't use the correct term during the State of the Union, called him an illegal, went back to his factory settings of 1998 Democrat, and called him what he is, and then he had to apologize. So you have one party that's apologizing to murderers and illegal criminal aliens, and you have another party that says these people shouldn't be here in the first place, and they're murdering Americans, so they should be deported or the death penalty.
Vice presidential pick, Benny. Who's near the top of your list? Who do you think could potentially be a mistake? Katie Britt is being floated. I don't think that would be, you know, having female Mitch McConnell would be a good idea.
Yeah, man, I have on good authority that Katie Britt was chosen because Mitch McConnell really hates Donald Trump and really loves his bestie, Joe Biden, as they destroy the country together. And so she was chosen for the reason that she would be a very weak and embarrassing and a parody of a response to the State of the Union. Why didn't they pick Vivek? More details on that. I'm sure you know, Charlie, but that was actually a name that was in contention and a name that was suggested by some very powerful people. And that's what should have happened. Because Vivek sort of represents a youthful and very energetic and very America first a vision of the future of this party. I also think that's what would make him a great vice president. A lot of people say Tucker Carlson would make a great vice president, but I think it's really about addition. It's not about having a derivative Donald Trump. It's about having somebody who brings more to the table and having somebody that brings like libertarians and the Elon, you know, the Silicon Valley wing also that also want freedom. And Vivek does that. And then who also brings maybe first generation immigrants, right? I think Vivek does those things as well to the ticket. And that's addition. Presidential elections are about addition, not subtraction. And I think Vivek is a big time ad.
So you like Trump Ramaswamy. That's a good one. Our audience overwhelmingly loves Vivek. Overwhelmingly. So it's terrific. Thank you so much, Benny. Great work. Appreciate it. Thank you.
See you, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.